We turn for our scripture reading this morning to Psalm 86. Psalm 86. Psalm 86, which is entitled The Prayer of David. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great, and doest wondrous things, thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast holpen me and comforted me. We read the word of God that far. On the basis of that passage and many other passages of the word of God, we have the instruction of our Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 45. Lord's Day 45. Why is prayer necessary for Christians? Because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us, and also because God will give His grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of Him and are thankful for them. What are the requisites of that prayer which is acceptable to God and which He will hear? First, that we from the heart pray to the one true God only, who hath manifested himself in his word, for all things he hath commanded us to ask of him. Secondly, that we rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery, that so we may deeply humble ourselves in the presence of his divine majesty. Thirdly, that we be fully persuaded that he, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, will, for the sake of Christ our Lord, certainly hear our prayer as he has promised us in his word. What hath God commanded us to ask of him? All things necessary for soul and body, which Christ our Lord has comprised in that prayer he himself has taught us. And what are the words of that prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we begin to understand and explain the important activity of prayer in the life of the child of God. This Lord's Day is an introduction to the subject of prayer. And in the following Lord's Days, the Catechism will explain the various parts of the Lord's Prayer. Remember that we're currently in the third and final section of the Heidelberg Catechism. First section, you remember, has to do with our sin and misery. Second section has to do with our salvation in Christ. And this third section has to do with how we show our gratitude to God for that salvation. And there are two important ways in which we show our gratitude. We show our gratitude by living in obedience to the commandments of God, living a life of good works. And that's why we just finished a lengthy section of the Catechism which explained the Ten Commandments. We show our gratitude by the way we live. We also show our gratitude by our words in prayer. And that's why now the Catechism, at the end of the whole of the Catechism, explains at length the subject of prayer. And we need that instruction in prayer. We need that instruction because of the difficulty of this activity. Every one of us can express from our own experience how difficult prayer can be. We all struggle at times with the frequency of our prayers and not praying as often as we know we should. We struggle with always being sincere in our prayers. It's very easy for us to say certain words and really do so without any thought. We struggle at times with having our minds wander so that we're really not focused upon the things that are being said in prayer. We struggle with finding the right words to express our needs to God in prayer. We struggle with forgetting about things that we know we have to pray about. We struggle at times with praying in public, whether that be in our own homes and families or in a church or a school function. Prayer is a difficult thing for us. And we can be thankful, therefore, that God gives us instruction in this important activity. We need this instruction in prayer as well because of how significant prayer is in the Christian life. Martin Luther once said, in explaining the importance of prayer in our Christian life, that just as it's the business of a tailor to make clothes, just as it's the business of a cobbler to fix a shoe, so it's the business of Christians to pray. And others have expressed the importance of prayer by relating it to our breathing. Just as breathing is the evidence of physical life in us, so prayer is the evidence of spiritual life and the health of our spiritual life. Prayer is so important in the Christian life. And for that reason, we joyfully enter into the school of God to receive instruction from our Lord Jesus Christ in how to pray. Let's consider this Lord's Day this morning, taking as our theme the precious gift of prayer. Notice first of all the significant activity, in the second place the proper manner, and then in the third place the personal growth. Prayer is a precious gift of God to His beloved people. It's a privilege for us. It is that because prayer, at its heart, is speaking to God. very simply, prayer is the child of God speaking to his heavenly Father. Prayer is an important aspect of our covenant life with God. When we think about God's covenant and when we talk about God's covenant, what we have to keep at the very heart is the idea of a relationship. The covenant is God establishing a relationship of fellowship and friendship with his chosen people in Christ. It's communion, it's fellowship, it's friendship. In this relationship, God is Father, God is the friend sovereign, and we are his children. We are the friend servants of God. This is a relationship of warmth and intimacy, of closeness and of love. And essential to that covenant life of friendship with God is communication. That's true in our earthly relationships. Essential to any good, healthy relationship on this earth is communication. That's the strength of our marriage relationships. The strength of our marriages is built upon the good communication between a husband and a wife as they speak to one another, share their life with each other, and they speak well of each other and to each other. It's when that communication breaks down, there's a sinful speaking to one another, the relationship suffers. That's the strength of our relationship with our children. Strength and the depth of that relationship is the openness of the communication that we have with them. And that's true in our closest earthly friendships as well. There might be someone that we're acquainted with that lives far away from us, and we may consider them a friend, but if we never really talk to them or communicate with them, that friendship isn't very strong. The strongest friendships we have are with those people that we see and that we speak to regularly, those that we open ourselves up to and share our life with. It's the depth of communication that is an indicator of the closeness of our earthly relationships. Well, in a much higher and greater way, is that true in God's covenant? God is pleased in his covenant to establish communion and communication with us, his people. And that begins with God himself. Just as everything in God's covenant and our salvation begins with God. God speaks first. He speaks to us in his word and through the preaching of the gospel. He speaks to us of our salvation in Jesus Christ. He speaks to us of the fact that he's our Father who cares for us and loves us. He speaks to us of all that he's done for us, providing for our needs. God speaks first. And then our response to what God has said to us is prayer. Prayer is the child of God living in covenant fellowship with God, responding to God, pouring out our heart, opening ourselves up and our needs and our struggles, bringing them to our Father in heaven. It's from that point of view, then, we can understand what the Bible means when it tells us to pray without ceasing or to pray always. Obviously, that doesn't mean at every moment we're to have hands folded and eyes closed. We certainly need those more formal times of prayer, but our whole life isn't spent that way. What that means is that every moment we're to live in the consciousness that we stand before the face of God. As our covenant heavenly Father, he's always with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us, so that every moment we live before his face. and that at all times and in all circumstances, we can speak to Him. At more formal times of prayer, with hands folded and eyes closed, but in every other circumstance as well, we can speak to our Father in heaven. And what a privilege that is for us. What a precious gift of God in His grace to us, that He would allow us, poor, weak creatures of the dust, to stand before the Creator of the heavens and the earth, that we sinners could come into the presence of the Holy God, to speak to Him, to speak to Him in the confidence that He delights to hear and to answer us. What a privilege it is for us. Every time in our life, in every circumstance, in the joys and in the sorrows and the deepest struggles, in a moment we can be standing before the presence of God, bringing our needs to Him. How often do we think about prayer in that way? As a gift and a privilege. Quite often, we think about prayer as some duty that we have to fulfill, some box that we have to check off in the Christian life from day to day, some begrudging task that's required of us. Well, certainly, prayer is required. We'll come to see that in just a moment. That's not to be the main way that we think about prayer, some necessary requirement and task to be fulfilled. We ought to think about prayer rather as a privilege and a gift. We get to speak to God. We have fellowship and communion in that way with our Father in heaven. That changes, ought to change, the attitude that we have toward prayer. It's not only something that we have to do, it's something that we get to do. And it gives us a certain freedom in speaking to God then. Just as a child respectfully has a certain freedom in speaking to father and mother in the closeness of their relationship, they feel free and open to share their life with their parents. Same is true for us spiritually as children of God. With honor and reverence before God, we have a certain freedom in speaking to our Father in heaven. That frees us also from living in the fear of men. And in our prayers publicly, to be crippled by what others may think of us in their evaluation of our prayer. It's not about others, it's not what they may think of us. We stand before our Father in heaven, and as His beloved children, we have the privilege to speak to Him. Prayer is just that, a gift and a privilege. And as with all of the gifts that we receive from God, this gift too is ours in and through our Savior Jesus Christ. God gives the gift of prayer and gives us the ability to pray only on the basis of the work of our Savior Jesus Christ. Prayer is an expression of the spiritual life that is within us, and that spiritual life is ours only in Jesus Christ. Christ suffered and He died and He rose again. And on the basis of what He did, we receive the precious gift of the newness of life. It's through the work of Jesus Christ that we're incorporated into God's covenant fellowship, that we're adopted to be His children and heirs. Have the ability in Christ, therefore, to go to God and speak to Him as His children who know Him as our Father. Not only do we have this gift and the ability to pray in and through Jesus Christ, we also have the confidence to do so in Christ. We know that for Christ's sake, God is pleased to hear and to answer our prayers. He welcomes us as His children into His presence. He delights when we draw near to Him and speak to Him in prayer. And that for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. What He accomplished on the cross and His intercession on our behalf now at the right hand of the Father. Father in heaven delights to hear and answer our prayers. For Christ's sake, God gives to us the precious gift and privilege of prayer. Prayer is also a necessity in the Christian life. We can understand the connection between that gift and the necessity this way. God gives us this gift of prayer, and He expects us to use that. Gratitude for that gift, to use the gift of prayer. And therefore, God not only gives us the gift, but in His Word, He requires of us that we pray to Him. Heidelberg Catechism explains two reasons why prayer is a necessity in our lives. Question and answer 116, first of all, says, because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us. You can understand that, again, by using the illustration of our children. As parents, we have the responsibility to provide for them. And we do so. We provide for our children food to eat, clothes to wear, a home in which to live, a warm bed in which to sleep. We provide for their medical care. We provide them with a good Christian education and a whole host of other things. We don't do that because our children have earned that, or they've done something to meet some condition so that we're obligated to provide for them. We do that simply because we love our children and we take seriously the responsibility before God to provide for them. But as our children grow up, we teach them that they're to be grateful. That when we provide a meal for them, or when we go out and buy them new school supplies, that their response to that is gratitude and thanksgiving. Thanks, Dad, for that, and thanks, Mom, for providing this for us. We want our children to grow up to be a grateful people so that they respond to those things with thanksgiving. God requires prayer of us as the expression of our thanksgiving to Him. We have so much to be thankful for. How much has God provided for us? Certainly way beyond what we deserve. We don't deserve any of the gifts that He provides, and gifts that are far beyond what we're able even to remember and to recount. God is so good and so gracious to us. He's provided for us our greatest need and our salvation. He's chosen us from eternity to be His covenant people. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to shed His precious blood for us. And He sent His Holy Spirit in us to sanctify us and to preserve us. Beyond all of our spiritual needs, provides for us physically. He gives us our daily bread. Gives us the strength and the grace to bear up under the troubles and afflictions of this life. God is good and gracious in providing us with an abundance. And as our Father, God requires of us that we be grateful for that. Not that God needs that, as if He's lacking in some way and is dependent upon us. But as His children, He teaches us to be grateful for what He's given to us. We show that gratitude in two ways. We show that in our life and how we live, out of love for God and obedience to His commandments, a life of good works. But especially do we show that through prayer. In fact, the Catechism here refers to prayer as the chief part of our thankfulness. The main way, the first way that we show our gratitude to God is in our words, by going to God in prayer, expressing thanksgiving to Him. We come to God in prayer in many different, with many different petitions and many different attitudes, with praise to God and worship and confession of our sins before Him, requesting of Him the things that we stand in need of, and also in thanksgiving. We do that by the grace of God willingly and joyfully. This is a necessity. God requires this of us. It's not something where He drags us kicking and screaming. He sweetly bends our will by His Holy Spirit. He works within us so that we are grateful. So that it's not just empty words that we speak of thanksgiving to God. That as those who know His grace and have tasted of His goodness, we are thankful. We delight to go to Him in prayer to express our thanksgiving to Him. Prayer is a necessity, first of all, is the chief part of thankfulness. And then in the second place, as we read in the second part of question and answer 116, and also because God will give His grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of Him and are thankful for them. And we read similarly in the Word of God in Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8, the words of Jesus where He says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." Prayer is the necessary means by which God is pleased to provide us with His grace and Holy Spirit. Now, some might object to that and say, doesn't God already know our needs? He knows our needs better than we do ourselves. Why is it necessary for us to bring these needs to Him? And certainly that's true. God does know our needs. He knows them better than we do ourselves. Some might object and say, well, doesn't this make God dependent upon us? But that's not at all the case. This truth does not mean that God is somehow dependent upon us. What this is describing is the way that's pleasing to God. God certainly is able to provide for us what we stand in need of, entirely apart from our asking Him of that in prayer. But what's pleasing to God is to provide for us our needs in the way of our asking those things of Him as we come to Him in faith through prayer. God is pleased to work in that way in order to instruct us as His children. God is pleased to work in that way to provide us our needs in the way of our beseeching those things of Him in prayer, because that teaches us our need for His grace and Holy Spirit. God doesn't simply give us these things in such a way that we're lifeless stones and stumps, but He works within us in such a way that we see consciously our own need for His grace and Holy Spirit as we live life here on this earth. We come to see day after day, we need His grace and Holy Spirit. We can't go on any more every day without that. So to teach us our need of these things, he's pleased to work in this way. He's also pleased to work in this way to teach us our dependence upon him, so that we realize and are conscious in our own daily life of our own weakness and our own inability and the fact that we are entirely dependent upon God always and for all things. He teaches us that, causing us to come to him daily in prayer, to pray to him for his grace and spirit. God is pleased to hear and to answer and to provide us with those things that we stand in need of. Means we're to be praying always, frequently. We always stand in need of God's grace and God's Holy Spirit. And yet too often, we think that we can go on in the Christian life without that. An independence upon ourselves. To battle this besetting sin in our own strength. To deal with this difficult situation in our own wisdom. What we find is that we fail and that we're unable to go on apart from God's grace and Spirit. To battle this besetting sin, we pray earnestly to God for His grace and Spirit for the strength to do so. To have patience in this trial and affliction and to deal with it in the right way. We go to God in prayer for His grace and Spirit, for wisdom to deal with this difficult situation. Go to God in prayer and beseech Him for that. It ought to impress upon us the need that we have a prayer. Prayer is a gift and a privilege, but it's also necessary in our life. The necessary way in which we show our thanks to God, the necessary way in which God is pleased to give to us His grace and His Spirit from day to day. Because of what prayer is, there is a proper manner in which we are to pray to God. Because prayer is a precious gift and a privilege that ought to be reflected in our attitudes, we draw near to Him in prayer. And the Heidelberg Catechism spends a good deal of time here in Lord's Day 45 describing the proper manner and attitude that we're to have in our prayers. There are three main things that it mentions in question and answer 117. First of all, that we from the heart pray to the one true God only, who hath manifested himself in his word for all things he has commanded us to ask of him. There's a number of things that are mentioned there. One of the things that comes out there is that our prayers are directed to the one true God only. We have the example of David in that regard. Here in Psalm 86, verse 8, among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. And then verse 10, for thou art great and doest wondrous things, thou art God alone. Obviously that means that God doesn't hear and answer the prayers of those who pray to Allah or pray to Buddha, or the prayers of those who take the name of Christian and yet have made for themselves their own idea of who God is. For example, a God who loves all men everywhere. That's an idol God. God isn't pleased to hear and answer those prayers, only prayers of His people. Offered to the one true God only. Another thing that this teaches us is that our prayers are offered in response to God's Word. We come to know God, as the Catechism says, through His Word. And as we read the Word of God, as we hear the Word of God preached, preached. The Word of God declaring the majesty and the glory of God and His wonderful work in our salvation. Our response to that is prayer to God. We hear God speak to us as our Father, and our response of gratitude and praise is to come to Him in prayer. Practically, that gives us help in prayer. At times we look at our prayers and we say, I'm praying the same things over and over again, the same words and the same phrases. How do I grow in prayer? One of the ways in which we do so is by praying the Word of God. As we read a certain portion of the Word of God, to use those same words and phrases in praise and in thanksgiving and in the bringing of our needs to God in prayer. And that way we grow in our prayer life as the children of God. Another thing that comes out in that first part of answer 117 is that to pray to God for all that we need, for body and soul, as He's commanded us to pray to Him for. And that's further explained in question and answer 118. What hath God commanded us to ask of Him? All things necessary for soul and body, which Christ our Lord has comprised in that prayer He Himself has taught us. I'm going to spend a great deal of time explaining that this morning. We're going to come to see, God willing, over the coming weeks as we go through the different petitions of the Lord's Prayer. God requires of us that we pray to Him for all things necessary for soul and for body. One of the other things that comes out here regarding our attitude in prayer is that we are to pray to God sincerely. Question and answer 117 says that we pray from the heart. There can be at times in our lives a difficulty in that regard. Our prayers are not always sincere and from the heart. Jesus warned in Matthew 6, verse 7, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, empty repetitions. And the point there is not so much that we use the same phrases over and over again, although there can be a danger in that regard. But Jesus' point there is to emphasize that our prayers are not to be simply outward, empty words, that we simply fold our hands and close our eyes and say these words without really meaning what we're saying and having a sincere heart when we do so. It's very easy for us to be mindless and repetitive in our prayers. And that may be the danger in using the same phrases over and over again in prayer. It's not wrong in itself, but it can lead to us simply saying these things, words and phrases that we're comfortable with and come easily to mind, without really meaning what we're saying. God is not pleased with words of praise to Him. Don't come from a heart of worship. God isn't pleased with words of confession of sin that don't come from a heart that's truly sorry, a broken and a contrite spirit. Or words of thanksgiving that come from a heart that's discontented and not truly grateful. God wills for us that we pray sincerely from the heart. When we pray words of worship and praise, that it arises from a heart that stands in awe before God. When we confess sin, that arises from a heart that truly knows our sin and is sorry for it. Words of thanksgiving that arise from a heart of gratitude. Needs and petitions that are brought to God of a deep sense of our own need. Proper manner of our praying to God is, first of all, that with a sincere heart to the one true God, our Father. Second thing that's mentioned in that question and answer is that we're to pray humbly. The answer goes on. Secondly, that we rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery, that so we may deeply humble ourselves in the presence of His divine majesty. We have the example of David in that regard here in Psalm 86 in verse 1. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. David prayed out of a deep sense of his own need and in deep humility before God. And that's the proper manner and attitude in our prayers as well. We pray humbly before God. That humility arises as we see ourselves, as we see our own sin and our own weakness and inability. It comes as we see the fact that we're undeserving of salvation and any of the gifts of God to us. It comes as we see our complete and entire dependence upon God. We grow in that as we read the Word of God and it shows us our sin and our dependence upon God. We see that in our own life and our own experience. It's through certain circumstances that God ordains, He humbles us. He makes us see our dependence upon Him. It produces humility in the heart of the child of God, a humbleness and a lowliness, a carefulness when we come before God. Not an attitude of pride, not an attitude of entitlement that God owes me this or that, but an attitude of deep humility, carefulness before God. Our prayers are to be characterized by that humility. First of all, by sincerity, out of a heartfelt, sincere heart, and also in humility before God. And then in the third place, Catechism says that we're to pray with confidence. Thirdly, that we be fully persuaded that He, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, will, for the sake of Christ our Lord, certainly hear our prayer as He has promised us in His Word. Again, David is the example here, Psalm 86, verse 7. In the day of my trouble I will call upon Thee, for Thou wilt answer me. David prayed in humility and with confidence, the confidence that God would certainly hear and answer him in his need. We're told by God to pray in the same confidence. We might wonder, doesn't that contradict the spirit of humility with which we are to pray? How can we pray with confidence when we see our own need? We see the depth of our sin and misery and how undeserving we are. How could God hear and answer my prayers amongst all of the prayers of all of His saints in all of the world? Why would He pay any attention to such a sinner as I am? Might make us doubt whether God would hear and answer us, but God tells us, pray with confidence that I will certainly hear and answer your prayers. That not because of who we are or how deserving we are. Confidence for Christ's sake. God is pleased to hear and to answer us for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and what He has done in our place. God has given to us the greatest gift in His Son and the death of the cross, who certainly, for Christ's sake, hear our prayers for all of the needs we have for this life. And for Christ's sake, then, we can come confidently. We come humbly knowing ourselves and our own need. With the eye of faith upon Jesus Christ and His cross, we come with confidence as children that our Father in heaven, in His love for us, is pleased to hear and to answer. Knowing what prayer is, how God calls us to pray to Him, we see in ourselves the need to grow more and more in prayer. Grow in the frequency and to grow in the fervency and the reverence of our prayers to Him. David indicates himself the frequency of his prayers. In verse 3, he says, "Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily." And that can be translated literally all the day. How often in our own lives do we pray? Frequent and regular are we in our prayer? Very easy for us to make excuses for why we don't pray more than what we do. One of the most frequent excuses that we probably make is we don't have time. We're too busy. We have so much going on, so many responsibilities. We're pulled in this direction and pulled in that direction, and we simply don't have time to pray. But if we stop and we truly examine ourselves, is that really the case? Is there really the case that we don't have any time in a day to pray? Or is it the case that we haven't disciplined ourselves and we haven't made that a priority in our lives? At times maybe we have the excuse not that we're busy, but we don't sense the presence of God. We don't feel like God is very near to us. In our own experience, we feel like maybe our prayers aren't going to get any higher than the ceiling of the room that we're in. And so we don't pray. Or it may be the case that we're not living conscious of our need. At times of great struggle and hardship, then we know our need and we go to God in prayer. But it's easy for us when things are going well and everything's as we think it ought to be in our life and there aren't any struggles. I feel like we can do without prayer. We don't live conscious of our need to go to God in prayer. We can make all kinds of excuses for why we don't pray. But knowing what prayer is, precious gift of God to us, and the necessity of prayers, the chief part of thankfulness, and the means by which God is pleased to give us His grace and Spirit. See the importance of regular prayer in our own lives. Let's not only see that this morning, let's be committed by the grace of God to doing that. Not just saying, I need to pray more, but then going home and disciplining ourselves, setting aside time in our day at a certain point to pray regularly to God. We need to grow in the frequency of our prayers and also simply in our ability to pray and to express ourselves to God in prayer. Here again, we can use the illustration of children. When a child is just a small infant, the only way that they're able to express need to their parents is by crying and whining. And mom and dad have to guess, is it because they're hungry? Is it because they're tired? As the child grows and matures, he's learning how to speak and he's able to explain to his parents what the problem is. I'm hurt. I fell and I skinned my knee. I'm hungry. I'm tired. There's an ability as the child matures to express his need to his parents. And in a way, that's true for us as well. in our spiritual infancy, maybe all we're able to do is to simply cry out to God. And in times of great struggle and great difficulty in the Christian life, times when we're very low, maybe that's all we're able to do. God, help me. But as we grow in our spiritual life, as we mature more and more, we grow in our ability to pray. We're able to express, not perfectly, we're able to express more and more our thanksgiving and our praise and our needs to Him in prayer. There's not a one of us who can say that we don't need to grow in that regard, young and old. We all have room to grow more and more in our prayers to God. And that's what the purpose of Jesus Christ is in the Lord's Prayer. His disciples came to Him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And Jesus responded by teaching them the Lord's Prayer as a model prayer to help them grow in their prayers. And that's the purpose of the Heidelberg Catechism and the following Lord's Days as well, as it takes apart that Lord's Prayer and explains it in detail. Purpose is instruction, to help each of us grow more and more in our prayers to God. May that be the case for us. As we come under the Word of God, may we see our need for prayer. The grace of God, may we grow more and more in this aspect of covenant life with our Heavenly Father. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we give Thee thanks for Thy mercies to us, which are new every morning. Thankful for Thy covenant faithfulness, for incorporating us into Thy fellowship and communion. We thank Thee for Thy word to us. We pray that Thou wilt apply it to us by Thy Holy Spirit. Strengthen us day by day in our Christian life. Give to us the grace and the measure of Thy Spirit that we stand in need of, to serve Thee and to glorify Thee in all of our life. Forgive us graciously of our sins. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.